I'm Sarah Marshall. I've worked with some of the world's leading brands to drive business growth. And now I'm sharing my knowledge and expertise with you. In my podcast, Lessons from the Boardroom, I talk to other successful leaders to find out how they've perfected their craft, driven success, and dealt with the challenges that leadership sends us. So come on, dive in. Welcome to Lessons from the Boardroom, the podcast version. And I'm delighted to welcome an old client, and may I say friend of mine, David Parker. Dave is the co-founder and joint MD of Parker Neil. Thank you for being here, Dave. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, Sarah. Yeah, absolute pleasure. So, Dave Parker, Parker Neil, founded by myself and my business partner, Gareth Neil, two and a half years ago into our third year. Both Gareth and I have quite corporate backgrounds, but really focus on SMEs as our stock trade. Gareth comes from Big Four, as do I, and then worked at MAG and PwC, and set up the ICO's External Audit Committee. So really strong background in compliance, and with PwC, he set up their cybersecurity division. My background is more around data and data delivery, both within financial services. Latterly, I worked at Open Banking in defining their data standards. We both met at a FTSE 250 PLC, where we're both senior leaders, both in the cybersecurity and data and privacy space. And we worked together for a good 5 years. And it was one of those jobs where you spend most of your time on a plane and you either end up loving or hating each other. We loved each other so much, we set up a business together. And that's our background. We work on three pillars, which are obviously cybersecurity, data, and privacy.
And you said that you work in the SME market, but that's vast.
So typically, you know, we have, like any other kind of boutique consultancy, we have a number of FTSE corporate clients. Our stock work is within the SME, as I said, and that's really between the £20 million to around £100 million turnover business, where we find, you know, they're really the breadbaskets of UK economy. They're the growth businesses. They're the guys that are innovative, they're entrepreneurial, and they're driving, you know, their business growth, which impacts on UK PLC. And they're going to be tomorrow's big businesses. But we have found that they struggle in terms of their cyber and compliance stances, and also with data. So what we have brought out are a number of products that are a low cost entry for the SME, so that they become affordable. And our remit, you know, is really just to help protect them in terms of their assets and their business.
Yeah, I remember when you and I were doing some work together, and the penny dropped for me about the fragility of the whole cyber landscape, if you like, and all of the different places that businesses can get attacked. And even attacked sounds dramatic, but you know, it's not necessarily a full-on attack, is it? It's just like sneaky little worms getting in.
Yeah, it's not even that, Sarah. You know, it goes back to the basics of security. Do you know who is walking into your building, into your office?
Yeah.
You know, do you have clear desk policies? Those basics then build on your wider cyber security. Yeah. It's that classic of people, process, technology with policies supporting that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't start just going, oh, well, we'll do a load of penetration testing to check your defenses if you don't look from the inside out.
Yeah.
So who's coming in? Who's accessing your physical data? Who is entering your office premises? I'll give you a classic example. There was a company we worked for. We did some work for, and they had lost a number of assets and
Lost.
they'd lost some assets, one of which was a huge TV monitor, huge screen. And literally, when we went back and we checked, you've got it on. When we checked the video, somebody was walking out with a huge TV monitor under their arm. So actually, that goes back to simple things around HR policies of onboarding and offboarding people. And all of a sudden, somebody goes, he worked for us 2 years ago.
Don't nick
Don't nick
the
the TV. But it's the basics like that that lead to the wider cyber
Yes.
postures.
Am I right in remembering that you said that the baddies can even get in through Word documents if you haven't got your security set up right?
So what we were referring to, if memory serves me right, was the ability of the baddies, let's call them, where they can piggyback
That's it.
on innocuous looking emails.
Yes.
You know, and there are probably some great businesses out there who send out as part of a tester, you know, emails to see what the open rate is and how many actually report them.
Yeah.
And I've seen a number of scams. In fact, I got one this week. The business are at DTX at London XL in early October. And I booked three hotel rooms for myself and colleagues. Following day, I got a WhatsApp message purporting to be from the owners of the hotel chain, asking me to rebook as the rooms were not available, put in my credit card details and push to SNP texts. The money would then be aligned to my record and then refunded into my bank within a couple of minutes. Oh yeah, of course I'm gonna do that.
But that's quite credible, isn't it?
It's very credible.
Yeah. It's
Yeah, and
scary. It's
it was a
scary.
very corporate looking message.
Yeah.
It took a standard that you would get from any third party booking system,
Yes.
you know, that you would book a room through. And it was just the fact that, you know, one, I'm very security aware. And two, I know that a booking organization will not ask you to do this type of payment process.
Yes.
But
Oh
somebody
my
else could quite easily have got caught out by that.
God. Yeah. Check your cyber security, everybody.
Absolutely.
Right.
Emails, do not answer dubious emails, do not open dubious emails. And that goes for texts and WhatsApps.
Yeah. Should we get into our questions?
Yeah, why not?
I could talk about this cyber stuff all day. Right. First question, Mr. Parker. Tell me the best lesson you've learned as a leader.
So, communication and communication at all levels. And communication in what we do today is probably more critical in engagement with our clients than when I was working in industry. In industry, you know, as part of a program of work, you will have a communications plan. And that plan is designed to transfer knowledge, transfer information, bring people on board, and keep people updated with progress. In terms of where we are now, we go into a client's potentially for a smaller defined period of time to do a piece of work. And so that clear, concise, dedicated communication is essential to achieving the goals that we set with our clients and achieving the return on investment that the work is set against. So having a clearly defined set of communication rules when we go in is critical, whether that's communication into the board in terms of progress, or whether that's communication out from the board or the owner down to the business in articulating what we are in and in for and the scope of our work. Now, that's really critical, because when you get people like ourselves walking into a business, the first time you walk in, you will have seen it yourself. Hey, up, who's this that's walking down the office? Oh, she's carrying two handbags. One's got a laptop in and one's got a big folder.
It's not audit, is it?
It's not audit, is it? You know, and they start thinking, oh, who's for redundancies or whatever. So you take that fear away.
Yes.
And fear through a lack of communication in a business is crippling. And you must have seen loads of examples.
Yeah. You know. I've got a client at the minute who is experiencing massive problems for exactly this reason. Just lack of communication.
So for me, it's communication, 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 because communication, to paraphrase an ex-prime minister with his education, education, education policies, well, if you communicate, you educate. And if you are educated, then the fear goes away.
And do you have a set way of doing this, or is it far more bespoke according to the client?
Depends on the client. You know, some clients just get everybody together in a town hall manner.
Yeah.
And they'll say, right, monthly town hall, in a week's time, we've got Parker Neil coming in. They're going to do a piece of work. We've got Dave Parker or Gareth Neil, one of our consultants here. They're going to talk you through, you know, what they're going to do, what that engagement looks like. And so you know who the personalities are. We get up, we do our communication piece, and that starts to take away the fear.
Yeah.
Likewise, it can be, used to be, an email to everybody. Well, now, you know, because people are remote, it's a Teams video.
Yeah.
You know, we find that sort of work really effective.
Yeah. And I suppose there's something about identifying all of the different stakeholders that's key, and making sure that the messages are not necessarily the same messages, but it adds up to the same takeout.
Consistency of message.
Yeah.
And we do that by building out a RACI when we go in. So it's basically a spreadsheet of all the stakeholders and what their roles and responsibilities are for.
Yeah. Have you ever got it catastrophically wrong?
Thankfully, no.
Of course not.
We've had one or two near misses.
Tell me about the hardest lesson you've ever learned.
The hardest lesson is really a personal lesson. I was working at a major insurance business a number of years ago when I didn't have as many grey hairs. And I've always been one of those people that delivery is everything. If you have successful delivery equals happy client, which means more business. Or back in that day when I was contracting as a consultant, a happy client with a successful delivery meant more work for me. So there's a monetary value that you would place on that. And I worked with an amazing lady, lady called Sally Wombold. And Sally was one of the most talented project and program managers I'd ever worked with. She now works in the counselling sector and is doing amazing things. But she asked me one question, and it was almost a rhetorical question. We were having a coffee, and she said to me, Dave, nothing ever goes wrong on your watch. But who looks after you when it's going wrong for you? And it was almost that, oh, what does my personal support look like? You know, because I've done a lot of mentoring of people. I've been mentored in the past by some amazing people early in my career. And it just made me kind of sit up and take stock of what I was doing in terms of my actions. And who did I have to almost mentor me at that particular point in my career?
Yeah.
Where I could almost go to somebody and say, you know, really struggling with this. And it had the desired effect of me building out a peer group.
Brilliant.
Where we could talk to each other and almost offload.
Yeah.
You know.
Safe space.
Yeah. You know, in the old days, it was the sort of... It was the sort of thing where we'd go down the pub, we'd neck half a dozen pints, you know, play a game of darts, eat a pork pie, and the world was right, and we'd go back in the following day. Whereas in the more politically correct world that we're in, you know, you can't do that. It's almost frowned upon.
There's nothing wrong with a pork pie. A pork pie can
absolutely,
solve many problems.
Absolutely. But yeah, it really made me kind of step back and look, not introspectively, introvertedly, but almost kind of just assess where I was at that point in my career.
And I mean, you are quite alpha, aren't you?
Sorry?
You are quite alpha.
Yeah, I'm a bit full on sometimes.
But what I mean is, even alpha types, myself included,
I know where you're going. Yeah.
Get benefit from help, advice, sounding boards.
Alpha types, I find, we have this almost front. It's that classic graceful swan of on top, you know, beautiful, graceful, everything's fine. We're doing this, we're doing that, I've got this. I'm all over this, boss. You'll have your comms out, et cetera, et cetera. We're actually at 9 o'clock at night, you know.
Yeah.
You're going, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
We're probably the ones that need that most, that bigger support network.
Yeah. That's tomorrow. You know? LinkedIn post sorted.
I'll give you that one for free.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. No, I completely recognize that. And I see it in my clients. So a lot of my clients, sort of MDs, chief execs, are alpha types, or just alphas. And finding a way to get them to not admit, but recognize that they don't have to know everything and they don't have to be all over everything. And there is such benefit in recognizing their, not weaknesses, but areas where they just don't have the skills that somebody else does. Yeah, I think that's good advice. And actually, I can see why it would be a hard lesson to learn, because even if somebody is saying, look after yourself, knowing you the way that I do, you'd be going, why? Why do I have to look after myself? What's wrong?
What's wrong? What are you seeing? I've got spots on my head.
Yes, yes. What? Yeah, no, I get that.
It's almost a case of, you know something's going wrong, but you ignore it, and then you ignore it to your peril.
Yeah.
And it's better to actually go, okay, I know there's something going wrong here. I'm not quite sure what it is. Where do I go to get help?
What's the single piece of advice you'd give to somebody in a similar position to you?
Reach out, talk to somebody. You know, I think it's a real gender thing, this.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm quite envious of women, because they have far better social circles than us blokes. You know, you probably have two or three friendship circles. You know, the school mums, the professional circle, and maybe a social circle. And within each circle, you probably have two or three real close confidants. And you'll probably go, say, bloody hell, daughter was up last night, I'm knackered. And they'll go, oh, Sarah, take some time out, blah, 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 you know. Blokes don't have that. We don't have that at all. You know, if I look at my social circles, you know, they are all similar males. They are all very sporty people. You know, I've got a mix of rugby, ex-rugby club, ex-football, you know, ex-boxing, padel playing, 50, 60 somethings that are all a bit battle scarred and what have you. And our view of life is, I'd be all right in the morning, have another pint. So we never really talk. It's similar with, I'm a big fan of what's going on in men's health as well at the moment, because we don't talk about that. You know, we've had the whole thing with women in terms of health issues, and they talk about it and it's open and whatever. We don't, you know, never once in my life, you know, with all of my friends and at the bar, we've gone, when's the last time you had a prostate check, mate?
How are your testicles today, Dave?
Yeah, did you have a feel in the shower this morning, pal?
Yeah.
We don't do that.
Yeah.
And we should.
Maybe you should start something.
Maybe. What the kind of...
How are your testicles, mate, group?
There are a couple of groups in existence for that.
Yeah.
I think it's a cultural change.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, men of a similar age. We're kind of brought up of that, you know, stiff upper lip, old boy, crack on.
If I think about my different friendship groups or support groups, like you mentioned the school mums, you find your tribe. So within the school mums, I've got a very good friend she's a casting director. She runs her own business. I've got another very good friend who's a strategy director for a Big Four. And it's the Venn. It's not just that you're a school mum, and it's not just that you're a business person. It's when you've got all of those different challenges, you find the thing that connects you.
Yes.
And we get to the point where, you know, you see each other. And one of my friends will say to me, should we go for a walk? And I'll be like, yes. And we'll walk down the canal and we'll talk about the pressures of running a business whilst juggling all of the other things. And we feel safe enough to have those open conversations. And they're not, you know, it's not like I'm connected to them on LinkedIn. They're just honest to goodness, supportive individuals in the same season, if you like.
Yeah.
And we are prepared to have those conversations. Maybe you need to start them, Dave.
Maybe, yeah.
Let's face it, if you started the conversations, others would probably follow.
I feel a webcast coming up.
All right. So to summarize, to end this fabulous Lessons from the Boardroom, speak to Dave about your testicles.
Yeah.
Communicate, communicate, communicate.
Yeah.
And reach out when you need to talk to somebody.
Got it in one.
Love it. Thanks so much. You are always a superstar. Can't wait for our next Too Many Champagne session.
Looking forward to it already.
Thanks, Dave.
See you in October.
Take care.